Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you are watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Us as one on fellowship
of learners. When I see the phone numbers start to unfold in the on the switchboard, I see I am connected to you through the power of the Holy Spirit that lies in you, and it connects with one another so that we can receive something as a corporate body. And I realize today that when certain people are on the line, they provide portals of authority to release angels and ministries into this session. And I am just overwhelmed with joy at God's plan for us and with us and through us. And I am so humbly grateful that you guys spend this time together as a corporate body to receive instructions that are unique for us, for where we are to go and what we are to do in God's plan in this season, in this this new move, in this wave. And so he's imparting some powerful information and revelation to us about the enemy, because we're going to be called upon, according to Scripture, to fight a good fight, to stand unmovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. And so on Friday, Fellowship of Learners, words from the Word, looking at Hell's Toxic Trio, the strategy that's going to come up and has come up and will continue to come up against us, but now on a level that the author shares with us after we get to the end, this is a level of principality. This is a level of affecting groups of people, not just individual people, but groups of people, regions of people, and places. And this religious spirit is binding and snaring the emotions and the mindset of the people of God. And so we want to not be deceived again. We want to receive the instructions of the Lord, just as he told Adam. God knew that there was a solution, and that solution becomes our answer when we are obedient. And so we want to receive the truth, because the truth will set us free. And we need to know that we are bound to one another, because we are in the body of Christ. But more importantly, not more importantly, but just as important, we're in this section of the body. And so we just thank God for your faithfulness. We thank God for the spirit that lies in you that brings forth revelation and opens portals. And each person and the anointing on each person, the anointing that's in your life, when you sign on, you are opening a portal to heaven for all of us. And so think of all those portals being open and then focusing and coming to one point, to that one point and time, which is 9 o'clock, in words from the Word, and releasing revelation to the people of God. And so when we look at the 9th chapter, we see where the first love lifestyle is our freedom from the religious spirit. The religious spirit comes, these are demons, and they are a high level of demons. There is a family structure, and we've seen it, and we need to know that this family structure is in the higher level for principalities, and being the restricting, confining, blocking enemy to God in principalities, in areas of regions and groups of people and ministries and moves. And we understand that this high level is to rule a territory. They want to keep their grip on the mindset of the people of that area. If you can keep people with a mindset that's one accord, they do great things. Even when the one accord is negative, they accomplish tremendous things that are very devastating, just as we can accomplish tremendous things that will be kingdom building when we have the mindset of the revelation of where God is in this season, in this place, not just the right time, but the right place. And all of these things posture us to receive these open portals of power from heaven so that we can establish heaven's agenda for this season and this place. The stronghold of false religion, it chokes out the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's its main focus, is so that people will not understand and embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, but rather they will embrace a system, a structure, a protocol, a tradition, a religion, not a relationship. And so as this happens, it appears to be a good thing. But because it's not a God thing, then it is an enemy to the kingdom of God. And that religious spirit understands how to use religious language and false belief systems and lifeless work to keep us busy and occupied and thinking that we are on the right path. But praise God for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who will bring truth to us and liberate us. He says, Christ said he made captives to the captives. He set the captives free. We're no longer bound by false truth. We're no longer bound by, they're like seasonal truth. We're no longer bound by a past move, thinking that the only power of God is to recycle what he has done. He has so much to release to us of newness, and we're not used to that. We're used to, I finally got it, okay, and now I can just linger. I can hover here for a while. No, there's no hovering. Anytime we hover, we are positioning ourselves for entanglement. You ever, if something stays on the move, it's hard for it to get tangled up. But once it starts to just sit there and gather, then you sometimes wonder, how on earth did this chain get this twisted up when all it was doing was sitting there? But that's the entanglement that happens, or that's an illustration of the entanglement that happens when this principality of religious spirit, spirit is in rule and in attack of the body of Christ. We have to remember also that these different levels come to affect different anointing. So it's so important. The truth will set us free when we understand the anointing that are on the lives, not our lives, but the lives of those around us. When we understand the anointing, we will understand better how we fit together. And most of our issues is because we are in friction of not sitting where we're supposed to for a variety of things, but mostly because of a false belief, because of a lie, because of a tradition that has passed and is no longer a part of the relationship that God wants to have with us. The spiritual spirit, the religious spirit, what they do with our minds is they twist and they tie knots and block the truth by the religious spirit. They block it, and they block our transforming knowledge of the Word of God. We've been in a season where these transforming truths. We're exposing ourselves. We're releasing. We are familiarizing ourselves with these transitional truths. But for a lot of people, they don't get it. There's a block. There's a block there. So now the anointed one, those are anointed for intercessor, will understand that block. And you hear a person seem to be frustrated over, you know, something that's said, or remove themselves from the knowledge of, or the teaching and the training of. Then the intercessors go into prayer about that. We understand what we're to pray for, so it brings everybody in line with what the move of God is, which you have to know. And so you see at that point that every anointing has a purpose in preparing the atmosphere for the people to thrive spiritually and to grow in their liberty. And that freedom from this religious spirit comes in understanding that Jesus Christ has done it all. Understanding that even before he left, he said, no, don't do anything. I got something else I need to do for you. And that is to leave so that the Holy Spirit will come and guide you into all truth, because there's so much you can't possibly learn. He said there was so much that he did when he was on this earth that if it were written in books, the earth could not contain the volume of books that it would be written in. And that's just what he did. That wasn't even who he was. And so as we get to a place where we are being untangled and untwisted from this relational understanding of God in a little box, because we do keep him in a little box. We keep him limited. We keep him in a place that is manageable for us to understand. So we're leaning to our own understanding. So we're not expecting the supernatural. We're not expecting the miracles. We really aren't. What we're doing is expecting God to do something with us that will impress us. He wants to do something with us that's going to impress him and the enemy. He wants us to understand there's so much in me that I need to release in you. And there is a battle blocking. It is a battle blocking. But now that you know the face of the enemy and you know my answer for your victory in that, then we will march forward. When I think of some of the words to the old songs, old hymns, I believe they understood on a level that at that time I know I did not understand, you know, onward Christian soldiers, you know, and I thought, okay, I thought it was because of World War whatever, one or two or whatever. And it was that kind of music was birthed, or that kind of message was birthed from, you know, actually soldiers going to war. But I understand now that the saints knew they were in a war. And onward, we're not going to stop. We're not going to hesitate. We're not going to stay in this place, even though it's a better place than it was yesterday. But onward, you know, keep it moving. I think Deacon Dean shared with us such a powerful word. Keep it moving. Don't stop. Onward, Christian soldiers. And so when we hear those things, when we are reminded, you know, of some of the words of the and the words in today's music, excellent. I'm not, you know, bashing any music. Music is powerful. And when we start listening to the words of the music, we can be as discriminating as God wants us to be, because our spirit will bear witness to the spirit. And if it is not the spirit, then that is not music that will bless our spirit. But we realize, and we come to realize, that all of these things are contrived around us to deceive us, to entangle us, to build a system of and a structure that is not a godly structure. There was a song that said the gates were, I don't know, it was a, in some way they, the way they put it, because it rhymed, but that was not what the Bible said. So whatever they were describing was not heaven, I'll put it that way, according to Scripture. And sometimes we get to the place where we question ourselves and say, is that in the Word, or is that, that's just a part of the song that I've heard so much that I believe that's what's in the Word? And so we should be so on the flip side of that. I've seen the Word so much, I know that song is not a part of it, okay? Because we're going to have to get just that in surrounded by the Word of God, that emerged into the Word of God, because that's where the first love lifestyle will come from, which is the Word of God, having an answer that Jesus Christ is the power, the glory of God, and the Son of God, and that it is through his power that we will be victorious. And the enemy knows that, but he also knows he can deceive us into not understanding what that means. That the scripture that says, pray the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we will understand the hope of our calling and the power that's involved in the resurrection of the dead. It belongs to us. That is a power beyond all powers. And that power was given to Jesus Christ. And that's why every knee has to bow to the one that has done it all and paid it all and overcome it all. And so if we're not teaching and relying and depending on the ministry of Jesus Christ, then we're going to do lifeless work. We're going to do those kind of works that look good and they'll wear you out and make you think you're suffering for Christ, when what you do is struggle, what you're doing is struggling against the system of God, because he said, my yoke is what? And my burden is what? He said it, and it is true. And until our spirit says amen and so it is, then we must continue to declare it and tear down what seems to be difficult and heavy and hard against the Word of God. Well, why are you? Then it's in some struggle. There is some conflict between whatever is going on and the Word of God. And the Word of God's got a truth that will release us from the struggle. That's how you become free. He says the truth will set you free. The truth will free you from struggling with what God is saying against what the world has said, the culture has taught, the structure of things would indicate it has to be, and it will be free to flow in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so as a result, that liberty will bring boldness. And that boldness comes just like with the disciples and with the apostles. It came because they knew that Jesus Christ had been raised from the grave. And because of that, it was like there was nothing man could do or say that would deter them. They were so totally convinced because they understood the ministry of Jesus Christ, the power of his resurrection. And so though we say we do, and though we appreciate him forgiving us of our sins, that which was is a powerful thing and definitely necessary, he did a lot more than forgive us of our sins. He has established a family. He has created a family in us with his Father. That means he has increased, if you will, it's probably not increased because God knew what it was going to be anyway. I was going to say heaven. But he has helped to march in unity and in the heartbeat of heaven by reaching us and bringing us to what belongs to us. Where the Spirit is, the Lord is. And when we depend on Jesus Christ, and so often he's not who you hear. You know, his name is not what is said in as much volume as other things. And yet, at that name, knees bow. And when it says knees bow, it's more than people bowing down and praying and worshiping. It means every host in ever created acknowledges who he is. Every host. It says the trees are clapping. Even the waves in the ocean will worship and praise him. So we're understanding the power of who he is, and the enemy doesn't want us to do that or to say that or to make that a priority. But because we lack that freedom through his word, who is Jesus, is the word, and that truth, then we are able to be deceived by the religious spirit. It creates this lack of freedom to receive God's love. So we can't receive God's love because we have looked at the structure and the culture around us and decided as a father, he must not be trusted or he must emulate a worldly example that has failed us, or a male example that have abandoned us, and so, or that only embraces us when we do good and not when we do bad. So we don't understand the liberty of the love God has for us that frees us to receive his love. His love gives us a liberty to receive his love. And we have to get to a place where we understand that and we are no longer allowing ourselves to wallow, because we do wallow in guilt and condemnation. When that is the first emotion that comes up, that's not the power of Jesus Christ. That is the religious spirit. That is the structure of a culture that we are looking to, and not the power of resurrection that we are living in and through. And so this freedom, this lack of freedom we have to even receive God's goodness, we're not free to receive God's goodness. We look at it as okay for them, but it won't come to me, or it didn't come to me when I needed it, so we're judging it according to lies, not the word of God, because he said, whatever you need, I'm going to supply. So that in itself is a lie. It is a false belief. And it is a belief that the church propagates. They do say that. Well, you know, they do. And as a result, we kind of wallow in the lack of God is good. Now, we say it, we truly say it, but in our hearts, we don't live it. And that's the key. When this is true and we have this liberty, then we can embrace it, and it's okay to embrace it. You know, some people are afraid of the goodness of God. They're afraid to admit it. They're afraid to acknowledge it. They're scared it'll go away, which is just evidence of the lack of understanding that we have about God. There is a God we do not know, and he wants us to know it. And every day he is there, and his purpose is for us to get to know him, get to know him better. So that lack of freedom causes us that not to believe his promises and who he says we are. Now, we will say them. We know them. They preach them. They teach them. We write them in a banner, and we put them in a badge, and we know them, put them in a book, the promises of God. But we do not live our life standing only on those promises. When Christ was up on that mountain and the devil was tempting him, Christ stood on the promises of God. For it is written. It is written. And I believe what is written. And sometimes when we aren't at a place where we're living what is written, we ask God, help my unbelief. Help me to believe so that I can live it. Help it come alive in me. Help it transform me, because it is truth, and everything else that's lingering in my consciousness is a lie. It's false. It's cultural. It's temporary. It is not eternal. And there's one thing that I love it when I hear apostles say, you know what? It is not eternal. And when we think of that, that is bringing the power of resurrection into our thinking. That is transforming. That's a transformative truth that will liberate us from a lot of emotions that tend to bring the chaos in our world. Okay, when you think of the chaos, it's built on a lie. It's built on hate. You know, it is built on greed. It is built on all those things. Well, actually, the seven deadly sins, as my grandson loves to remind us of, and they are deadly because they infiltrate our very culture. They infiltrate what we teach other people. Because they infiltrate, you know, that's that secret faults and presumptuous sins that we are not even aware we are permeating in the world, because we're living a falseness. And so this freedom from that religious spirit, and the religious spirit is, remember, it is what is trying to entangle a group, a region, a race. When you think about it, my God, and entangle it in semi-truths, entangle it in religious language or religious rhetoric, and even worse than that, in the word of God misused, not rightly divided. And so that lack of freedom that the religious spirit wants to engulf our lives in keeps us from real prayer. It keeps us from getting relational prayers, and we have routine prayers. And even if, you know, sometimes, you know, when I'm talking and sharing and whatever, I may say something 2-3 times now, you know, and not either aware that I said it before or just am, but just want to repeat it. And so it becomes a routine. That is not a relational, honestly. That is not relational. That is a routine. That's trying to grip on something that you really don't have a grip on. And so to release it is to trust God to guide my conversation and my thoughts where he wants them to go, not me trying to keep a grip on them and only share this, only share that, and then share it 15 times. Don't nobody want to hear it anymore. Okay, not about the word of God, but just about stuff. But that's if you think of that as prayer, just routine, that you say, you know, bless my mama, bless my father, you know, the world, peace, you know, that's a routine prayer. But a relational prayer is that child whose head is bashed in, you know, because someone was greedy and wanted and lied, and, you know, that's a relational prayer. Get it in the relationship with the subject and the I want to say target, but the purpose of the prayer and the people of the prayer. And so not having that freedom, not having that truth to set us free, we're not able to pray as we ought all the time. It says pray without ceasing. Okay, well, we've come up with all kind of answers for that. Okay, but yet the word of God says pray without ceasing. And that has to be our daily bread. That has to be our daily pursuit. That has to be that is paramount in our life. And even though it's just like when I shared my grandson, he said, what are you going to do in heaven? I said, you're going to praise God. He said, all day? You know, and it's like, yeah, but I can't explain to him is this will be so much that God is going to be revealing to us about himself that we're not going to ever get tired of praising him. This is going to be something else for eternity. That's the kind of God it is. But we can't, in our little finite mind now, we can't grasp that. You know, we that don't sit in a box that we possess currently, but it will. And so we also see that the lack of this freedom gives us a problem with relationships with other people. Now we find ourselves to be offended. We find ourselves to be standoffish. We find ourselves to be prejudiced. We find ourselves having preferences. And all of these things where this love that God gives is a grace that none of us deserve, but all of us has received, and that should also be the way we interact with one another. And so all of these things, if we just kind of have a hour of thinking about if this were true, if this first love lifestyle were true for 1 hour for every saint in the world, this world would change. This world would change. We would go beyond ourselves. Christ went beyond himself. Pastor was sharing in the message that God loved us so much that he gave his son. And his son loved him so much that he came. And he obeyed, and he died, but he trusted the Father. And this is who we are to emulate. This is who is our standard. This is who we are to structure our thinking by, what Christ has done, walking in the power of God. Religious bondage annihilates the flow of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, because that's quenching the Holy Spirit. He's telling you to do this, and the religious bondage that we are living in, whether it's lies or entanglement or cultural structure, is not agreeing, and so as a result, there is a struggle. It's impossible to believe God for miracles and breakthroughs when we are stuck in religious bondage. All right. So our job, the place that we're in now, what we're required to do is to recognize these symptoms. They've been shown to us very succinctly, and that's not the only symptom, but the Holy Spirit will show us, and we're now to be more keenly aware of and not quench the Holy Spirit. Know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, obey the ministry, embrace the ministry, and then we will enjoy the ministry, because joy will be what will strengthen us to do all the things that have been assigned to our hands. There is a symptom of this prison of the religious spirit. They place us in it illegally. And sometimes we think, that's what the pastor said, or the bishop, or the regional district, or whoever. And it may have been the truth for a season. But we must always stay connected to the portals of heaven through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we have the wisdom of the sons of Issachar, and we know the season that the Lord is in. Not that we're in or that the world is in. We can look at the world and decide it's in this season, and that may not be the season that God has. This season may be the best season in the world for the world, according to heaven's agenda. But I mean, I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying we don't know, and God does, and we must depend on him. We have to realize that this illegally binding religious spirit, it infiltrates our thinking. I have realized in these last months, you know, that when I have a thought, I start to dissect it. Okay, why am I thinking this? Where is this coming from? I need to know the root of it. You know, I am not satisfied to have a thought anymore. I got to know where the thought came from and what supports it to be a part of my thinking. And so often it may not be something that I am aware of. It may be something that God wants me to become aware of, so I can't just automatically discount it. But I need to present it to him so that he can tell me, what do you let me see this? What am I seeing this for? What is it? I don't even want to have my own thought about it, which is really hard for me. But then that's just teaching me to let go. Teaching me to let go of a structure that was necessary before, but it is not part of my season now. And because of that, oftentimes we struggle because God is pulling us to, tender. He's drawing us. And we are resisting because we're holding on to something else that he drew us with. And we just have to know when to let it go. That's not letting go him. You know, that's not dishonoring what he did in that season. And that's why he says, in all things, give thanks. I'm going to praise you. Whatever is going on, I praise your name. And so we want to make sure that this truth, because the enemy gets in our, I want to say our lives, but get in our path, gets in our path, because there has been a breach. Okay, there has been a breach and not a portal open. But anytime we grab something and we should not, then we cause a breach to happen. And when that breach happens, the enemy, you know, you give them an inch and they'll take a mile. That's what this is. And so what we have to do is slam the door. If we not, just slam the door. Do not let him in. Do not let him rupture our mindset in Christ. We don't want an aneurysm the enemy's ignorance. We want the truth of Jesus Christ to rule and reign in our hearts, in our minds. So we have to stay the course. This is a victory key. We meet the lies of the enemy with the word of God. As you are breaking free from the religious spirit, you will have a refreshed and renewed mind with the word of God. You will have to speak God's promises of sonship and adoption over and over and over again, and it's okay. And just to repeat it, it will require purposeful pursuit of sonship. On purpose, I am going to pursue my sonship with God. On purpose, I'm going to identify with the scripture that I am a child of God. We build our faith by listening to teachings that reinforce our freedom. This will lead us to a place of unfettered worship that only sons and daughters enjoy. As you come into his presence with a place of freedom, from a place of freedom, we will soar above the bondage of the past. And I love this listening to teaching. Teaching is what brings to life the word of God. And so sometimes we get to a place where we don't think we need that. We think, oh, you know, I know that. In the most rudimentary environment, if it's just for 3-year-olds and there is a message being delivered in Kingdom Church to 3-year-olds, if you've been a saint for 50 years, God will give you a new word. He'll give you a new insight. He'll give you a new revelation from that word to a 3-year-old, because that's how God is. And so we should never get in the mindset, oh, that's for the kids, or that's for, you know, the people that just came into the body of Christ. And some things are for them, but it doesn't mean it's not for us. We can never stop learning how to be disciples of Christ. We're always learning how to be disciples of Christ. And to learn, then you should be under teaching and training. And you need to listen. So you can't, for some of us, I cannot multitask. I need to listen. Now, I may not have to listen and take notes, because that's multitasking. But I need to listen and trust that the Holy Spirit, because he said it, will bring back to my remembrance whatever it is I was supposed to glean out of that. I have to trust that the word of God says he will reveal his secrets to me. Okay, and so those are the things that we base our thinking in as we enjoy the first love lifestyle. Jesus Christ has given me all I need for heaven and for living holy on earth. He's given me all I need. The things that he has done. Awesome, awesome God. Okay, the lines are open. Praise God for you guys being here today. Hello.
Hi, Overseer. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
I agree with you. Good
morning, Overseer. I was trying to find something in the book, but I can't find it.
Okay, hold a minute. Sister Arnett was talking.
Can you hear me?
Hold on, Sister Arnett was talking.
I agree with you on even our own thoughts, you know, where are they coming from, you know, and even just seeking God, you know, not being religious, but just seeking him, because so much does happen and so many things come at us, you know. And I'm in agreement with that. That's all I got to say, but thank you.
Amen. 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 Okay, Elder Roberta?
Yes, ma'am. I thought I had my, I still had my phone on mute. I'm kind of still asleep or something this morning. But I was looking at the word, it was saying the Aramaic word for persecute is Bela, L-A-H, may not be pronouncing it right, which means to wear out the mind. He says, in other words, the corporate spirit of religion as Satan's agent in this case does not place so much on the heart or on the emotions or on personal holiness or on the fruit of the spirit, but rather on the mind. And I was telling someone had called me, and they were saying about their mind. And I had just read this, and I was telling them, you know, that what I had read, how the enemy plays on our mind. And it just, you know, things just constantly go over and over and over in your mind. There was something that is going on in our family. And I have to constantly, you know, I'm telling the Lord, because I find my mind, you know, going over it, and I'm telling the Lord, you know, I trust him, but I'm yet asking him to, you know, undertake to help me to just stand on his word that he is a God of deliverance. He's a God of mercy, you know. As I said before, it's so much in this book, in our reading, that we have found. Mr. Lestrange has brought out about the different our fights against these spirits. And I was reading, came to my mind, the scripture of the scripture that tells us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I know, you know, I've read this scripture many times, but never, what's the word I'm trying to say, put identification, if I can use that word, to those rulers or spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just thinking of, you know, thinking about that and looking at the different spirits that he brought out in our study. So, and the different prayers, I was looking at the different prayers that he put in the back of the book. So, it just has so much encouragement and so much teaching, revealing, you know, what it is that we're up against. And that, you know, God wants us to be as his people, as his leaders, as his voice. I just can't even express. I just really enjoyed it. It's something that we probably should revisit at some time because it's so much to take in. So
yeah.
I thank you for your teaching.
Amen. Amen.
And
excellent.
God using you. And when I grow up, I want to be like you.
It is my prayer you are better than me. Okay. Oh, because we, you know what, we glean power from each other. And that's one of the things that I'm learning. And I realized that, like I was saying, it's important to understand the anointings that are around us. And this has been a year where God has really impacted me with understanding the different anointings, the importance of them. And, you know, they are your intercession. I really did. And that's why I was saying there's nothing we shouldn't be ready to learn. And I corrected it. And just the 15 minutes, okay? And the truth, the revelation became so clear. And so we really did see one another. And there's some things we may figure, you know, well, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. But it is all a part of what God's plan is for us. And how we should go forth in that. I think that sometimes,
Hello?
Hello? Yes, Apostle?
Oh, no, you faded.
Oh, well, I was trying to, there was a lot of background noise. I was trying to figure out where that was coming from. Okay. So that's why I faded, but I'm glad you're on the line. It is very encouraging and definitely give you opportunity to share.
Oh.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate the depth of revelatory didactical insight that goes forth during this time. And as you were sharing today, as we had the opportunity, when you begin to talk about the portals, that the gifts on the line represented, and then when you talked about the battle as it relates to, you know, not wrestling against flesh and blood, it became very interesting that what is needed is always present.
Mm-hmm.
And we sometimes just have to tap into it. And we fail sometimes to tap into the greater grace of the presence that the Holy Spirit has put us around. And some of the fact that we don't wrestle against the whole concept of flesh and blood, but against these spirits that are represented, diminished, what do I want to say? that's represented in this from a hierarchical perspective in the spirit realm. And then God just began to, as you were sharing, share how his people represent that same type of hierarchy.
Yeah.
And understanding the power, and then you talked about the portals that are present, because they each represent or have access to those same dimensions that this battle was in. And so sometimes some of the weapons that we need to use is that concept of tapping into, for this perspective, I guess, the fellowship of those that you are in covenant with, that we keep company with, and that, you know, there are battles that are won. And when we look at the people that we're in, that we're planted with, that we're in a covenant with, and our focus is sometimes on the attack of the enemy, when it's look around
right.
you and see who the Lord has allowed you to be in this battle with, be attacked with, because the solution sometimes is within the strength of that fellowship. So I definitely enjoyed or have enjoyed this Friday Fellowship of Learners and this Hell's Toxic Trio and just the teaching and the revelatory insight that has gone forth as a result. So bless you and thank you.
God bless you, Apostle. Anybody else? Thank you, Apostle. Always good getting apostolic. Good morning.
I was looking at, like I said, this book has me all over the place. And I must admit that I have experienced spiritual warfare since we've been dealing with this. And that is, I mean, I guess we're always in, I know we're always in a battle, so I don't want to sound stupid by saying, but there are different levels, different areas where we can get attacked. And while I have been, while we have been in this book, it's been on, you know, it's been crazy. But I thank God for his faithfulness, you know, I definitely know I've been trying to hold on, but I certainly know that I've had a hiccup or two, but I thank God that it was resolved quickly. You know, that's all I can say, that I thank God that it was resolved very quickly when I came to myself, so to speak, when you hear the scripture says about the prodigal when they come to themselves. And so I was looking at, we have a little block here, something I gave. I don't even know if I gave you one. I may have not. I don't remember. But a couple years ago, I was in a store, and I came across this little wooden block that has the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit on it. And it's something that my sister keeps downstairs on her table, like, you know, whatever, in a common area. And I was just looking at it, the fear of the Lord, counsel, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, piety, and fortitude. It's what this one is saying. And you know how, obviously, when you're looking at something like that, some of the versions give you one word and some give you the other. But just the whole idea of where the Holy Spirit will give you what you need. And so I thank God for that. But and I would say I thank God for the struggle. I don't know if that, you know, maybe I should say I thank God for the struggle. But I thank God for the victory in the struggle. I'm not thanking God for the struggle. But I thank God for the victory in the struggle. And I think for me it was just one of those kinds of things to be thinking like, really? Are you really trying to come at me this way? That this is, it just seems such a crazy thing. But you know, we've been doing this, and I know that is one of the things that happens. Anytime you start delving into things, and I think that you know, I know that we're not tested of God, well, challenged in a way to see, you know, what we'll do, you know. And so,
right.
You know, it has been, you know, it hasn't been, I can't say, ooh, God, it's been a hard journey and a struggle like that. No, it has just reminded me that reminded me that there are vulnerabilities, and don't get so comfortable to think that, you know, certain things that I think that I put behind me won't come back to revisit. You know, I had to like, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. And, you know, and it's like,
right.
Why not? Everything is fair game. Any weakness, any appetite, any proclivity, you know, and reading the Screwtape letters, you know, I had to laugh and say, okay, you know, really don't be stupid. You know, I mean, I'm talking to myself. Don't be stupid. When you see and you know, it's like, okay.
Right.
And so, you know, in that regard, that has been a help. But also I think that probably if I wasn't doing that, that wouldn't have even been an issue. But I don't know that. That's just, you know, I mean, that's just me. That's just my own interpretation of it. Because I know he comes at us 24/7 in all kinds of ways. You know, so just a reminder, you know, that we have to be on our guard, you know, and everything and everybody is fair game for Satan, you know, in his arena. When I say that, when I say fair game, the whole idea that, you know, you can come under attack for anything, at any point. But like I said, I thank God who gives us the victory. Like I said, it's made me just think like, okay, don't get ahead of yourself. You know, my mother used to say, don't get too big for your britches.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So you know, I get
that.
But that was just an observation. You know.
Amen. And we can't get comfortable where we are. You know, we got to
always. Yeah, I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Yes, yes.
No, and
well, I think I have really gotten down to things, you know.
I know. I thought so, too. So. Well, okay. You know, and just understand what, and, you know, but that's because we don't have a good understanding of the journey. And as we go forward, like now, you got a better understanding of the journey. You can somebody something about the journey that some folk don't know. And it is a place where, again, the more, I hope I say this right, but the more you know, the more people you will impact. And I say that because it's as though, just like some of these apostles shared, she said, just like the enemy has a hierarchy, so does God's people. There are positions, and there are hierarchies, and there are things that you knew when you, like 10 years ago, you could share one-on-one. There are things you know now you can share to 1,000 people. You could share that 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that as we go, so now you have shifted into a corporate type of anointing because you were very involved in, you know, community and all stuff like that, ever since I've known you. But I think now it's going beyond that. And to go beyond that, you're going to have the warfare that's beyond that. And after you have received the victory of that, now you're released to walk in that office. You know, that the own was Christian soldier in that, you know, I guess it was an office, you know. You were charging, now you're whatever. And so it takes that kind of warfare, you know, on a different level. And this, when it shared about this, and I know for years we have, Apostle had, did, what does she call them, travel, Apostle, you could
correct me. I can't remember what you called it, but when we travel from one place to another, we identify the authority in that place, and the ruling authority in that place. And I knew that's what she told us to do, you know, and some people did it, you know, but I didn't know what she thought you were talking about. I really didn't. Now I know. You know, mm-hmm. Now, you know, because if I'd have gone before, I'd have been in trouble because I would have been the breach. I would have been the breach to let the enemy, just because of ignorance. My people perished for lack of not because I didn't know. But I know now. But I knew enough to, and I share with apostles sometimes when I'm very aggravating. You know, it's like, oh, I don't do that. You know, you know. But because I did not feel a liberty, and I'm not going to say I knew spiritually, I didn't do that. I knew physically I was scared to do that. How's that? Okay. Because, you know, one thing my grandma told you don't play with the spirit. Okay. So it's like, nope, not me. Don't know. Mm-mm. Now I'm understanding. And now God is giving me a knowledge to understand, you know, to and counsel of how to, how not to. All of those gifts in the spirit. And so understanding, knowledge, and the counsel for the understanding, the strength, what gives us the strength through it, you know, the truth released to it. So we could actually go on, but I'll stop right there. Okay. Anybody else? Anything else?
Obviously, can I just say today is World AIDS Day. Just keep that in mind, you guys. Today is World AIDS Day, December 1st. World AIDS Day, so internationally. And tomorrow, if anybody's interested, from 9 to 12, the Clergy and Lay Leaders Summit, this is something Madam McCormick that I've been involved with since we started doing about 15 years. We're having a program at Trinity over on 95th. We usually have it at McCormick, but McCormick has shrunk its footprint, so they don't have some of the buildings that they used to have. They've sold them off to the University of Chicago, which is a shame, but that's a whole other story. Yeah, so it's going to be at Trinity tomorrow from 9 to 12. Otis Moss, Reverend Otis Moss is our guest preacher. Reverend Edwin Sanders, who's a brother from Nashville that I know for the last 20 years. Awesome guy is the, like, keynote. So if anybody's interested, you know, free and open to the public from 9 to 12 on 95th.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay. Intercessors, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right. Praise God. Anything else? Anybody else? Okay. Well, we will continue in Chapter 9 with Stay the Course. That's where we stopped. I think I stopped to stay the course.
Richard, did you get the thing I got you about the other book? Did you see the email?
You know what? Yes,
Charles
Kent. I ordered it. It is on Audible as well. I ordered that.
Oh,
it is. Yes, but it's 170 pages. You're talking about little. That ain't little.
That's little, though. It is little. You can read it. It's a quick read. It is.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know what?
Compared to some of these other books we've been reading. It's a little pocket-sized paper book. That's all.
It is not a quick read, okay?
Okay.
Because it is not a quick, but it is good. And that's what our next book will be.
Well, maybe I should say easy read.
What's
it's
the name
easy
of it?
Read.
You think that's easy?
It is. I mean, because I read it a long time ago, and I wasn't really. Yeah, I don't think.
We'll see what.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
What's the name of it, you all?
It is The Tongue, A Creative Force by Charles Kent.
Oh, okay.
And there are zillions of them out there for under $5. Just go on eBay or Amazon. It's not an expensive book at all. I mean, I ordered another copy because I couldn't find mine, and it was like $4.50 with free shipping. But, you know, you just have to kind of go out there and look. But I didn't see anything that was under that one.
Can you repeat the name? Can you repeat the name of that?
The Tongue, A Creative Force.
The
Charles
Tongue,
Cat.
Creative Force?
Right.
No.
Is it the power of the tongue, A Creative Force?
No, it's just The Tongue, A Creative Force.
Oh. Okay. Who is it by?
Charles Capps, C-A-P-P-S.
C-A-P-P-S,
yes, Capps.
Charles.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, don't y'all get it and read the whole book, okay?
You're funny. Your jokes.
You don't have to worry about that. We got
First, I did what I thought. I said, oh, shoot. It's 160 pages. Well, you do know that The Strange Book is just 180 pages, right? Well, okay.
Really?
Okay. 99, sorry.
97, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, with the prayers and whatever.
Yeah, 199. Yeah, look, that's not a little book, man.
But you know what? I am sure it is a good book. And you know what? We can do a book for 6 weeks, 6 months. So
yeah,
we will definitely go through the way the Lord wants us to. So I can't wait to get it. I got it on Audible, but I didn't want to hear it before I read it. So
I read pages.
Huh?
Why didn't you want to hear it before you read it?
I think I visually want to see it.
Okay, just a question. I ain't trying to get on you.
Yeah, you know, I don't like to listen to a book before I read it. Just like with the Hell Toxic Trio, I read the chapter, then I listen to it.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, I know it's crazy, but you know, I don't know. So I'm gonna let you guys go. Enjoy December, and sooner or later we are bound to get some snow that I can enjoy. Yeah, I know. Not today. Today in Rockford, Missy Lady. Okay, but I'm going to Rockford, so my son-in-law is going, so he'll make pictures for me. Yeah. Okay. Well, enjoy, embrace, know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Honor his ministry in your life. Look for it and desire it and long for it. And,
yes.
Yes.
Amen. See you in worship.
Amen.
All right. God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you.